The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And you know, obviously, you know, because historically, the government hasn't gotten things right.
Next on Life Today, discover how Scott Turner is encouraging us to revitalize urban and economically distressed communities in our nation.
And with this is creating the opportunity for long-term sustainability inside of these communities. And so people are not only excited about it, they want it to work because they understand it could revolutionize our country.
I'll tell you what, I am thrilled that we're continuing the discussion that I began the other day with on another program with Scott Turner. I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. I explained that I came in to do this program kind of right in the middle of the day when Scott could arrange his schedule from Washington back here to get in at a time that he could tape and we could talk about an initiative that's going to bless people and is an answer to prayers that I've been praying for 20 years for people here in the urban communities, the inner city, who are so often, it seems, overlooked. And sadly, in many instances, there's a tremendous amount of fatherlessness in those areas and a lot of desperation. And I said, God, would you please help people who know how to create jobs, who know how to create wealth, who know how to create opportunity, would you please lead them into those areas with the heart, love of a father? Like Tony Evans, Dr. Evans says in the Urban Alternative, go in with a mentor heart to show the Father. And boy, Tony is an inspiration to all of us. Well, I'm seeing the prayer answered right now, coming right out of Washington. Actually, amazingly, right out of the White House, with the oversight of another fatherless person, like I was fatherless, Dr. Ben Carson. And what an incredible gift he is to all of us. Not only gifted hands, he's a gifted man, a gifted mind, a gifted heart. And now the man I'm about to interview that I talked to the other day, Scott Turner, great football player, played for several NFL teams, and he is really overseeing this under Dr. Carson's, let's say, leadership. And I'm telling you, he's excited. Would you welcome Scott Turner back to life today, Scott? Good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
We're gonna move past all the football and the excitement and the disappointment that the Dallas Cowboys didn't have enough wisdom to get you and keep you here. Then you wouldn't have been going to all the other teams.
Right.
You wouldn't have been playing for the Redskins. You could have helped beat the Redskins. It would have been so much wiser. Jerry just had that wisdom.
Right.
Okay, we're gonna pass football. Right now, you introduced to us in Washington, D.C. We had been invited that evening to have dinner with the President Trump and Melania and other leaders. And you walked in the room with spiritual giants. One of them was your pastor over in North Dallas, mm-hmm. Prestonwood, Jack Graham, one of my best friends.
Yes, sir.
I think he's one of the greatest spiritual leaders in the country.
Yes, sir.
But that room was full of spiritual leaders. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
And it was spiritual leaders that at one time they wouldn't even get together because
right.
they come from a different sectarian point of view.
Right.
But couldn't you feel in that room, these leaders of huge groups of people, some of them over groups of millions of people,
mm-hmm.
and could you feel the love they had for one another? And did you feel love when you walked in?
I did.
It was like a miracle. It didn't feel like Congress, did it?
No. I knew I was in the right place.
You knew you
were. Yeah.
But see, this could happen in Congress.
Yeah.
Listen, pray for this. We're supposed to be a family. Mm-hmm. Pray for it. God, heal. Heal our nation. Heal our hearts. Heal our attitudes toward one another. Show us we can be a family.
Yeah.
Okay, you walked in that setting, mm-hmm. and you thrilled us beyond words. You blessed us because you talked about an initiative to many people we would consider who often live in poverty. They are in challenged areas, many of them in fatherless communities, sadly.
Right.
And you talked about what? What's it called?
So it's called the... And thank you for having me. I'm so blessed to be here. And to your point, that room, the Spirit of the Lord was there. And I was not surprised. And I was very humbled to stand before you and other spiritual leaders that were there. And the initiative and this mission
that God has called me to in this season. It's called the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council. This council came as a result of the legislation that was passed in 2017 called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And out of that, the Opportunity Investment Act was created, which created the Opportunity Zones. Opportunity Zones, very simply, are the distressed communities of America. Those communities that have been underserved, those communities that have not seen investment in many, many decades, many, many years. And each state leader, each territory leader, District Columbia, and tribal leader was given the task to nominate, if you will, census tracts. Nominate these census tracts or these communities, if you will, to the Treasury. Then the Treasury certified over 8,700 what we're calling opportunity zones.
Wow.
And inside of these opportunity zones, just to give you and the viewers kind of a sense of what it is, the poverty rate in these opportunity zones is around 37%. The median income in opportunity zones is 32% lower than that state median income.
Wow.
The unemployment rate is about 1.6% higher. The amount of adults that do not have a high school diploma inside of these communities is staggering. The life expectancy is 3 years shorter in opportunity zones than it is in the national life expectancy, if you will, because of lack of health care or good health care and a lack of healthy food and other issues. Historically, there has not been investment in these areas because of several things: high poverty, high crime, lack of quality education, lack of trained workforce. And so investors, if you will, entrepreneurs, if you will, have shied away from these opportunity zones or distressed communities because of these factors. So now with this new legislation, it gives an incentive to investors to invest capital gains that they have either from a sale of a property, a sale of a business, a sale of a stock that created a capital gain. Now private investors can take these capital gains and invest them into a qualified opportunity fund, which is very simple to create. It's a self-certifying fund that you get a paper from the IRS, you create an opportunity fund, you invest these capital gains, and the incentive is you leave it for 5 years, you get a 10% discount on capital gains. You leave it for 7 years, you get 15% discount on the capital gains you pay. But the preference is to leave it for 10 years inside of this opportunity fund, which is invested inside of this opportunity zone to create new business, to create jobs, to substantially improve existing businesses. You leave it for 10 years, you pay no capital gains on the profit that's made in that fund.
Wow.
Along with public investment, which is where the council comes in.
And everybody that creates wealth has to be, in a free market economy,
yes,
a risk taker.
Yes.
And when you minimize the risk to any degree, especially to a particular degree or a large degree, mm-hmm, you really bring that investment in.
Yes.
Then when it's purposeful investment, mm-hmm, in areas that have been overlooked too long, and with that investment comes the oversight, the legitimate interest in that investment, even though there's less risk, you still have a vital interest. Mm-hmm. And you do it for long term, you have long term interest. What I see, and I just think that this absolutely has to be something that is built in and inspired, mm-hmm, if that wealth creator will make certain he's bringing some of the oversight ability, mm-hmm, and the entrepreneurial skill, mm-hmm, into that community also, with either those who understand and work with him, or even personally. I'd love to see the leaders in these great wealth-creating funds, mm-hmm, come in with some personal oversight, mm-hmm, and interact with the people. Do you believe that personal interaction,
yes,
from people? See, like even talking to you, mm-hmm, and you knew challenges because you were hurt by your family's, mm-hmm, divorce, mm-hmm, but you gleaned some good things, but, yes, nevertheless, you were overlooked, mm-hmm, as a very gifted athlete. Mm-hmm. But miraculously, you didn't lose your dream.
Right.
Miraculously, it was lived out. there had to be some points of encouragement.
Right.
When you look back over your life, didn't those moments of encouragement where somebody got involved with you, didn't that do a lot to boost you?
Yeah.
And can't you see with this investment, if you bring that kind of personal interest in from these individuals who've been successful and they show that they care, can't you see that giving a tremendous jump start to people who feel like nobody even noticed them, much less cared?
Absolutely. Yeah, and for me, James, a family, the Basso family, was that family that came in at a time when I was a broken young man, you know, hurt by the separation of my family, hurt and feeling as if I was all alone. And God sent this Basso family not to just give me everything, not to just, you know, hand me stuff, but to show me that there's greatness inside of me.
Wow.
And then to lead me and teach me
exactly
how to tap into that, along with the love of my mother and the hard work of my father. Now the Basso family comes in and takes this, the whole package, and say, you can do it.
Wow.
And so with this, you now have public investment from the government, and which is the council, and the 16 agencies that make up the council.
But it looks to me like it's government commitment with some oversight
of
interest and giftedness on the part of those overseeing.
That's right.
And not using the people to keep somebody somewhere.
That's right.
But actually putting something into those people, the hope you're talking about
that
you saw and you got at a time that you needed. But when I heard you come in with this, I heard a person excited about, like, somebody that loves people with a legitimate love. I actually felt like somehow, even in the White House, a man that's criticized nonstop that I've gotten to know very well.
Right.
I've never been around him. See, I've been around him behind the scenes. I watch him walk over to all the people nobody notices when he's backstage.
Yeah.
Not when any cameras at him, and go to the people that nobody pays any attention to and give them earnest attention. So I got the impression when you came in talking, and Brooke Rollins, who loves God so much and we've known for so long, she seemed to be excited about this and said the president really wants to help the people that have been overlooked. Now tell me the truth.
That's right.
Because you seem to be excited that there was personal interest.
Right.
Do you believe the president of the United States and the people right there in the White House, do you believe they really care about what's best for those people that you're talking about?
Wholeheartedly. And the council would have not been created had they not. This is a top priority for him, personally. It's a top priority for the administration. Convening this council together is no small or easy task.
It's not.
The people that work on the council, which are those agencies that I talk about, have total buy-in. They have total passion to see this not just work, but have a sustainable, long-lasting, generational impact. We've been to the cities already. I've been to 7 cities in just 6 short weeks of being appointed by the president for this executive director position. And so you have public investment and you have private investment. I have been with the entrepreneurs. I've been
you
with
the investors. You think they actually care and actually caring about more than money.
Yes.
In other words, they know a risk taker has to minimize the risk. Mm-hmm. And any time he can come in with less tax burden or get some kind of benefit from moving into a particular city, a wise investor is going to do that. That's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're seeing that there's an excitement on the part of these individuals, which just kind of has to, in my opinion, be inspired by God or by somebody for this to happen. You really believe they care and they would love to see these people that have been downtrodden or used for somebody else's advantage to actually see them lifted up out of the mire of the misery some of them have lived in for a long time?
Yeah, it's happening.
You actually believe that?
As we speak, I've been on the tour, so not only do I believe it, I've seen it.
Okay, are they responding in those inner city communities when they see you come in? Is there a joy? Tell me the truth.
There is.
They don't think somebody's shooting them a line of baloney, right?
No, and you know, obviously, you know, because historically, the government hasn't gotten things right.
No, they
seldom
get something
right. That's why this is unique. Well, in a sense of you're bringing investors.
Yeah, you are.
And you're bringing public investment to come together.
Yeah, and it's not even government money.
No,
it's their money.
It's private money that's coming in.
Yeah.
And with this is creating the opportunity for long-term sustainability inside of these communities. And so when we've conducted roundtables in Chicago and Atlanta and New Orleans and Cleveland and Las Vegas, people are not only excited about it, they want it to work because they understand it could revolutionize, as Dr. Carson has said, it could revolutionize our country.
It absolutely
because now
can.
You have people that have been
absolutely.
In poverty, that have been underserved. You now have people that are saying, you know what, you mean I can go get a new job or get a better job and actually have ownership? Those kids that are truant but have great skill sets, you mean they can actually now be trained to be responsible citizens and to be a trained workforce in the community that they live in? Yeah. This is something that hasn't been done. And so not only do I believe it, not only have I heard it, but I'm living it.
Would you like to look at the American believers and people all over the world and tell them how you want them to pray for what you're doing? Just look at them right there. Just look at them right there.
Thank you. So I would say to you, my beloved American citizens, to pray for us that true revitalization comes to the distressed communities of America. I would ask you to pray for true godly transformation that will outlast, long outlast all of us that are working on this, that it would have a generational kingdom impact. The president, the administration, those that work on this council, those that are involved in this in the background, every day have a true passion and a true heart for those that have been forgotten and want to see this initiative, this mission that God has given us, not just be successful, but be truly transformational, so that those in the communities of America, that the hope and the dignity will be restored, that those who have wanted to work, now they can work. Those that have wanted to start a business in the community now can start a business. Those that want to invest in these communities now have not just motivation, but a tool, if you will, to invest for long-term sustainability. And my heart and the spirit that I have behind this is that not only do we just check the box, not only do we speak about it, but that we have hands and feet on the ground to be the hands and feet of Jesus inside of these communities. And even in those communities that aren't distressed resourcefully, but may be distressed in other ways, that they too will be blessed by this initiative and that America will be the place that God has called it to be. Because we are looking out for the least of those. We are looking out for the poor. We are looking out for those who have no voice. And that's what God calls us to as believers, as men and women of God, as churchmen, and as kingdom people. That's what we're doing. So please pray that God would do this expediently and that it would be a long-term sustainability initiative that God will bless. Thank you so much.
Those of you in the audience, you want to say thank God and thank you, Scott Turner. Lord, I just pray for Scott right now. I thank you for the wonderful ability you've given him. I love him. I've loved him the first time I ever heard him start talking about Jesus years ago. And I'm so glad you put him where you have. And we want to thank you for Dr. Ben Carson. Mm-hmm. He's been so blessed blessing people. And now he just wants to bless everybody that he possibly can with the influence you've given him. And I pray that he and Scott will be a great team and that the viewers of our program will get involved any way they can. Not only with their prayers, but find personal way to be involved. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Scott, is there a website that people could go to learn about opportunities or to learn in any way they could be a part of? Is there a website yet established?
There's one being worked on right now.
Okay.
And it is our hope that it, and our goal that it will be out in about 4 or 5 weeks, and it's going to be called opportunityzones.gov.
Okay.
But right now, individual investors or individual citizens, the states that they live in, some states have already created websites, and they can just go in and type opportunity zones.
Okay.
And there's a plethora of information out there. And they can also type in the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council and learn about the mission.
That's
that we
great.
Have.
And if we get anything any clearer as this is and online, we'll keep it updated where you can find it on Life Today.
Yes,
Scott, we're going to be praying for you. I know you're going to be excited about us putting some shoes on some little feet
yeah.
in third world countries. I don't know if you've ever been to any of the mission fields, but I'll tell you what, when you go, we have people we call poor. But our poor people are called rich people. Oh, yes, I'm talking about our poorest people, the rich people, in the majority of the third world countries. And we're going to try to put shoes on little feet. 150,000 little children are going to get a smile because they get shoes. And some of them are going to get the first smile they've ever had because they've got cleft palate or some other facial deformity. And we're going to do surgeries and give them smiles. And you can make that gift. I want you to watch. Just watch with your eyes and really pray with your heart. And see if you don't want to bless some of these children in these opportunity zones we're going to point you to right now. Watch closely. You know, Betty, all these people have wondered why we're here. How are you? And we have told them through translators that we are here because we love them and because we want to give them a better life. We came in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we didn't just come to talk about God's love. We came to share it. Demonstrated. You know, I'm kneeling here in Central America by a contaminated water source, and we love to give water wells. We found out something else because of contaminated water, and even contaminations and problems in the soil, children get little cuts in their feet and they pick up hookworms. And as I understand it, that ultimately gets into their intestines and is a horrible sickness. But it's a disease that not only brings incredible pain and discomfort, but in so many instances, death.
You know, I'm standing here with these children and they're just a small example of children all over the world that they deserve to be cared for, and we have an opportunity to do that right now, to put some shoes on their feet, to give them a chance in life. And I ask you to help us do that. It's just a simple request, but a very urgent and important one. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, I know, Betty, you're watching at home, honey. I miss you being here with me. I sure love you, honey. Thank you for going to the ends of the earth with me to show children how much God loves them. You've been such a blessing. And just looking at those little kids and knowing how many nations we've been to and how many little ones we've held in our arms as the arms of Jesus. And then to know that we could put shoes on precious little feet that so often, because of cuts and vulnerability and bacteria and the areas where they play or even like those dumps, they get the hookworms and other diseases. We saw one little child that we didn't know if they were going to make it. And that little child was fortunate there was even a doctor to try to save the life. And so, Betty, thank you, honey. Miss you today. But to all of you who are watching, I want to ask you to give shoes for Christmas. We start way ahead of time. We have to raise the funds way ahead of time to buy the shoes. $36, as an example, will buy 10 pairs of shoes. But we have to start way ahead so that we can not only get the shoes, and we're asking God to give us 150,000 pairs, we get the shoes, and then we have to ship them all over the world to the various parts where you talk about lighting up somebody's life. I mean, this not only brightens the day of the little children, but what a difference it makes for the missionaries who get to see these little children that they love bless so much. So would you right now just dial that number that's there or go online and would you give? Would you give 10 pairs of shoes? Could you possibly give $180 and give 50 children? Think about it. What a Christmas for 50 kids. Would you give 50 pairs of shoes? And then would you help us do the cleft palate surgeries and where there's facial disfiguration to be dealt with, that we could give those surgeries that cost an average of $500 a piece. And that's because doctors sacrifice their time and their skill. But $1,000 will give two smiles for Christmas. So would you join us with Christmas smiles and shoes, please? Go online or dial the number, take your bank card, and you'll need to go get it now. And I wish you'd do it right now. Just go get it and make the gift God put on your heart. We're going to send you one of those beautiful little crystal shoe ornaments that everyone enjoys so much. And if you make a gift of over $100, I hope that you would give the $180 for 50 pair of shoes if you can. We're going to send a box of shoes, which includes the little crystal green one and also other colors. We want to bless you as you bless others. We've got the arms of the shepherd bronze. You are actually putting the shepherd's arms around precious little ones when you just put shoes on their feet and smiles on their faces. Thank you so much for making a gift. By the way, if you try to call and get a busy, be determined. Call until you get through. Say, I'm going to make this gift. It'll make such a difference. Thank you for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas Shoe Ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, I want to just say thanks, and Miss Betty, but I told you we had to rush in here at a time that it wasn't where she could come. But you're going to give these shoes, even though you don't have her beautiful smile asking you to, and get the beautiful crystal ornaments for your tree. And you're going to be praying for Scott Turner and this revitalization initiative. I'm excited about it. And I just thank you so much for watching. Scott, you're a blessing. Would you join me in saying thanks to Scott Turner? Bless you on your journey.
Thank you.
We're with you.
No, sir.
You let us know ways we can help, okay?
Right.
Thank all of you for watching. Thanks for praying for us, for Scott, and for all the mission outreaches. Thanks for your help.
After being told he would never walk again, Chris and Emily Norton prepare to walk the 7 longest yards next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.